Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
This is New Retirement Radio with the team from Prout Financial Design.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design here on WTCM News Talk 580 every Thursday, live from 10 till 11, and repeated Saturdays from 9 till 10. Starring the cast and crew of Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner. Welcome back, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you so much, Ron. On 2/20/2020.
My goodness.
Two numbers.
Yes.
Satisfy the whole thing for the day. For those who were into numbers, 2/20/2020. It's a beautiful thing. And we have with us, as you mentioned, Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
Yay. Master Lead Advisor with Ed Slott & Company, as is myself. And Shay Pataja joins us today.
Hello.
Variety of Shay stats. We have a ton of information today. Today we're talking about choosing the right tax professional in five easy steps. You see all the notes I've here. I've added
five.
To
five
it.
Five easy steps.
And then you added five.
But I've added five more. So,
so it's ten.
That's really
myself.
Ten easy steps.
Let Shay do the math on this one.
Thanks. Five and five equals ten. Thank you very much. Or five times two equals ten. Or ten times one equals ten. Well,
nope.
Good morning to all of our listeners. We had absolute fun last night teaching the Secure Act class to a variety of friends and clients who are friends. And it was new acquaintances as well.
A lot of good questions.
A lot of really good questions. It pointed up the responsibility that individuals have for their own financial well-being. The responsibility continues to increase given the complexity of the tax code and the changes that are being made on an ongoing basis. In fact, one of the questions was, well, when's the last time we had a huge change like this? Most people, for most, this went unnoticed. It is a huge tax change, and went under the radar. It is a significant tax increase. And it just, well, so the question came up, when was the last time? And I was thinking, oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. Turns out, I think it was 2002.
I think it was 2001.
And so it just, in thinking about the number of years it's been since we've had a significant tax change, then here we go. This one kind of slid under the radar, was added on to the package for the budget deficit to cover the deficit at the end of last year, was an addendum to it, in essence, and will make a huge as a tax increase for those receiving these qualified accounts, of which we talk about often. So more planning opportunities and lots of pivoting going to need to be made. However, today we're talking about choosing the right tax professional in five easy steps. February 20th, Dennis, I'm already doing my taxes right now. You know, why would I really want to talk about or hear about the tax professional? Well, in case you're looking, and perhaps it's for next year as well.
In case you're doing your tax return and you're like, you know, this is a little complicated.
Mm-hmm. You have little bunches of hair around the desk.
Pulling it out. Ouch. Yeah. So if you're tired of spreading out all that tax information on the table and not having someone to help you, well, here's the information from Ed Slott & Company on choosing the right tax professional in 10 easy steps. Number one, ask for references. Well, many times you may well get a reference to the tax professional you're using, which we did in choosing John Sleese as our tax professional for the office. And it came highly recommended from a couple of people within the tax profession realm, and that recommendation has proven excellent for us. So as for reference, have you ever stopped to think about how you picked your doctor or mechanic? Chances are you chose them because a friend or family member recommended them based upon a positive reference. Oftentimes, people are afraid to ask for advice from those closest to them who in finances are involved. But picking the right tax professional is too big a decision. So do your homework. Ask around. It's not an easy decision anymore. As we mentioned before, the complexity, you need good tax help. It's amazing what a difference it can make. Actually, we're going to have John on next week to talk more in depth about this. So we're going to go back and forth with him on some of these issues and really try to get in depth.
Did you see the commercial for AT&T? Their tagline is, close enough is not good enough. And a woman goes to her tax preparer guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, I'll get that taken care of as soon as my audit is over.
I haven't seen that one.
No, I have not seen that either.
It's a clever ad.
Yeah. To get a referral.
Get a referral, a reference. Check for credentials. Not all tax preparers are CPAs. In fact, in many states, anyone can prepare tax returns and call themselves a tax professional. If they have their CPA or EA enrolled agent designation, that's helpful. However, this does not necessarily mean that they are competent enough in the retirement area to assist you, indeed, if you're a retiree. So a great question that John mentioned in the conversation I had with him was, you know, what is the transition in the new tax law? How is that impacting me? What does this new tax law mean to me? That's a great question.
It is a good question.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So, to check for credentials. 3, ask about experience. Not all tax preparers are CPAs. I just did that. Ask for experience. In most cases, you would opt for experience over a novice. Do you really think your choice of a tax professional is that different? Sometimes there is no substitute for experience. So what is their experience in working with people with in your situation, in your particular situation? Now, some of these may seem rather obvious. It's like, well, but I mean, wouldn't they just automatically have that? No, ask them. You might be surprised at their response. Well, I've never seen anyone with your situation. You might want to ask elsewhere, obviously. Okay. Did we have a question or something around?
Yes, we do. We'll take a call here as we go through the list.
Sure.
Dylan, Dylan is on the line from Sutton's Bay. Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning.
Morning, Dylan.
All right. So, yeah, my brother and I have a house, and we've had it for over 2 years. We were thinking about selling it. And we were talking about investing in a business, but I don't know if you can, because I know we're over the capital gains 2 years. But I'm not sure if we can invest in the business instead of reinvesting in a new home.
Hmm. You want to avoid the gain?
Yes. And we're talking about investing in a business rather than a home.
Mm-hmm. So, well, has that been your primary residence for more than 2 years?
Yes.
So you're good to go. So there's no gain on the sale of that residence. Okay.
Right.
So no matter what it is, and you can reinvest it in the business, there's no limitation in terms of reinvestment. Is that your question?
I guess basically to see if there's a benefit or a... Because I know normally you get a benefit for being an entrepreneur or something because you're creating jobs, right?
Well, yeah, you definitely want to speak to an accountant or tax advisor in regards to the forms and or the tax changes that will be made as a result of you going into that particular business. Yes. Is that kind of what you're asking as well?
Yeah, I guess we've been talking about it for a while, and we listen to you pretty often. So
appreciate it. So, yes, I would definitely interview a couple, 3 different tax professionals who can help you on the business side. And, in fact, as I mentioned, John Sleese will be here next week. That may be helpful to you as well if you happen to be able to listen next week.
Listen and call in next week.
Excellent accountant. But, yes, in terms of payroll and all the rest, it's amazing how many while it does cost, the benefits can be significant depending on the complexity of your business.
Okay. Right. Well, one book I've been thinking about reading is The Art of the Deal. My grandpa actually has a, well, he had a copy from like 30 years ago that grandma gave to him, and wow, like 1988 or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, might be collector's items now. There were a lot of them out there, but yeah, I don't know.
And it's still providing income to Donald Trump. That is a popular book. While I haven't read it, I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can get him to sign it. Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thank you for the help.
Pleasure. All right. Thanks, all right, Dylan. So did you say if they're selling their primary residence, there's no capital gains on
correct
that?
Correct. Okay. Up to $500,000. Now, I'm assuming that the gain is not more than $500,000 on this sale.
Yeah. So, good thing.
Well, he's an individual, though, so it's $250,000, see? Okay. $500,000 is for a couple, married filing jointly.
All right.
So if he's an individual, as he mentioned, with his brother, that would be $250,000. But, that would be. Again, isn't it interesting? That's why you want to have these conversations face-to-face. Because I'm making some assumptions here on the radio, and I might listen to this, frankly, on Saturday and say, oh, darn it, why didn't I think of that or say that? So, truly, we're talking about general subjects and issues here on the radio. Talk to a professional face-to-face, if at all possible, regarding your personal financial situation.
And tune in next week for the tax preparer. We'll be here too. Yes. Dylan might be able to ask him a question.
Yes. Something else you wanted to add, Heidi? First.
Well, I just wanted to say how important it is to go and see your professional before you actually make the transaction. Because once it's done, it's done. And when we were talking to John earlier, that was one thing he mentioned. So once it's done, it's done. But if you go in before you make the decision and just gather that information from some of the professionals, your financial advisor or your accountant or your attorney, and get those answers so it keeps you out of trouble. Yep. It's better in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And one more point. What man goes to war without seeking counsel?
Uh-huh.
That's actually from the Bible. Uh-huh. So think about it in the same way. In essence, in some of these cases, you're going to war. So seek counsel. It's incredibly valuable to you. All right?
All right. Arm yourself with information. Yes. Let's go to Herb in Traverse City on New Retirement Radio on WTCM. Good morning, Herb.
Good morning. Actually, I'm in Florida.
I was going to ask if you were listening on your new porch. I saw you post a picture of your new house on your porch in Florida. Herb.
There's no secrets.
We are so enjoying it.
That's great.
And, you know, Dennis at one time said you should never buy a second home in Florida. And I tried to listen to that, but then we ended up buying one.
To each their own. Did he give that advice in July?
I don't remember saying that, but anyway, forget it. No. Jeez.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know what I was thinking, her, but, you know.
He's changed his mind.
Yeah.
So but what I was going to mention is that to the gentleman who was looking at starting a business, that they should first go to SCORE to talk about their business plan and ideas so that they can, you know, the business counsel for that part of the business or that part of your advice should go to SCORE.
Now, what does SCORE stand for, Herb?
It doesn't stand for anything. It used to be Service of Retired Executives, but now it's just strictly SCORE. And you can go to SCORE.org and Traverse City SCORE and get the information. And they can meet with two different counselors and discuss their idea, what they're going to do, and, you know, whether or not it even makes economic sense.
So that was SCORE, SCORE, just like it sounds, .org.
And Dylan from Sutton's Bay could go, now it's called Traverse Connect. You can start there, and they will connect you with SCORE, and you can get tax experts, or because I think they might be investing in an existing business. But whatever their area is, they'll find free advice.
Yeah.
Free counsel.
It's a very valuable service, and we're probably in the top 10% of SCORE chapters in the United States right there in Traverse City.
Cool.
As Dylan was calling me, I was thinking that given the number of individuals who have started businesses in this area, he joins a huge group of people. I talk about entrepreneurial focus and belief system. It's incredible up here. So you go, all right? But get counsel.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to add that to your advice.
Appreciate it, Herb. That's great advice. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Herb. Herb in Florida. His new home in Florida. How about
that? It's probably warm there.
I saw a business, no kidding, the other day. People will know this. If you drive on South Garfield in Traverse City on south side of South Airport, there's a place. Sign says, Kilt Rental. That's a business I never would have thought of.
Mm-mm. Wow, really?
How many calls a year is there for someone to rent a kilt?
Especially in the winter.
I first have to learn how to play those bagpipes, you know, before I did that.
Well, I think entrepreneurs, people going into business, underestimate the amount of risk that they're taking on. And I've learned that through Fulfillment, where we have these entrepreneurs share their story of going into business and the level of stress, you know, work, time. It's always you get so excited about the new idea, you underestimate the sacrifice. And, you know, for this gentleman, you're still going to need a place to live. So you've got to think about all of those things and talking and using the resources in Traverse City are just incredible.
Yeah.
Count the cost, the seriousness and the information that you get and the pain that you go through in terms of getting that information together may tell you on the very face of it, you know, I'm not nearly as excited about this deal as I thought I was. In fact, I'm having second thoughts or whatever that might be. So, yes. Great.
But
great
advice. Dylan was going to invest in a business, maybe, which is nice. Mm. An existing business.
Oh, interesting.
You get into it while it's already been created.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Given the goodwill that's been created and all
fun
that.
Fun question, anyway. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It's time for a break, is it not?
Yeah, we'll talk about the how to select a tax preparer. We have five good tips.
And five more. So
and five
total.
More. Yeah.
The information in this material is not intended as tax advice. Please consult a tax professional for specific information regarding your own individual situation.
All right. I believe we are on number three, continuing that track. We'll get through number five here, and then Heidi's got some information here on the HSA plans, which we want to cover as well. Mm-hmm. On number four, ask about education training. I think we already did that, did we not? Yeah. Five, continuity. Planning to maximize your retirement distributions and transfer your wealth is not a one-time deal. Some of the most important decisions may not be made for years or even decades. If you don't expect your tax professional to still be working, you may want to ask what type of plan they have in place and make sure you'll still receive the high level of advice. So basically continuity between the firm itself or within the firm. Do they have that continuity where you can be assured relatively that they'll have some kind of way to continue their service to you? Now, in terms of thinking about that, too, the IRAs and all the rest, how is that financial professional, rather than just helping you fill out the forms, are they talking to you about retirement, your business, your children, the big picture when it comes to the huge amount of responsibility that entails? So it's not all bad. I mean, how are you leveraging that advice from that person to help you navigate? It's not just about spending the money. I hear silence. Well, isn't it? Well, that's obviously a big part at retirement, but it's about passing it on. How do I do that most efficiently? How do I think that through? What's the best way to do that? Or what are maybe my two or three best ways that I might investigate to do that? And how do we do that? And what would you advise, given what you've seen other clients do, and what the best tax professionals in the business would advise as well? It's not just about the beneficiaries. It's how they receive it. And are they going to handle it properly? Have you even told them that they have these retirement accounts, that you have these retirement accounts in force, and that one day you're going to receive a significant amount?
Well, you know, it was really curious, too, when we were talking to John, the way that he, you know, we talk about retirement planning and retirement accounts, and he's like, well, you need to talk about the tax liability you have in the future because, you know, it comes out as income. So you do have to think about that, and there's many strategies that you can use to help manage how much income you're claiming each year. But I just thought it was funny because he's an accountant, so he's like talking about the future tax liability.
That's what we're talking about all the time with our clients. So it was music to our ears.
Do you have any idea what percentage of retirees pass on, have enough in their accounts left over to pass it on, and how many run out of retirement savings?
Well, that's something that we help our clients plan for because it's longevity risk is what we call it in the business. But it's something that we look at and looking at, you know, guaranteed income streams that will last a lifetime and managing the inflows and outflows so that portfolio is sustainable in the future And
actually advising our clients, if the withdrawal percentages are getting to the level where that's not sustainable, and all those, obviously those aren't fun conversations to have, but it's a conversation we have with our clients. Okay, these withdrawals are causing the principal to be drawn down, even as good as the retirement accounts have done in these last few years. Making them aware of that. That is a conversation.
Yeah.
And because, as well, interest rates are so low, the stock market is so high, and people are living so long.
Yeah.
We have conversations with clients now at ages that I never dreamed we would have. I mean, we're talking 80s and now 90s, but they're coming in together, and wow, I mean, I'm thinking of a specific couple who will remain unnamed, of course. But, man, they are actively involved, engaged, and with it. And it's fun having that conversation with them.
I have a Shea stat for that.
Yes, ma'am.
The life expectancy of a 65-year-old American is 19 and a half years now.
What age? What age?
A 65-year-old.
So we can just say 80, right?
And that's
85, rather. 85, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
20, Dennis, yes.
That's from the Center for Disease Control.
So if you have a question, if you say, let's have you $1 million in your account, you're not adding to it anymore.
Right.
You're withdrawing it.
Mm-hmm.
Say you take out 4% a year, which would be $40,000.
Yeah.
But it's still earning interest, that other $960,000, right? So if you take out 4% but it also earns some, how much would be – you'd have more than $960,000, right?
Well, generally it's considered safe at 4%. But again, because the market is this high, it depends on where we're drawing it from. What's the plan to draw it if the market were to go down 10 or 20%? And that's the storm on that horizon that we mentioned briefly last week. And again this week, it is an issue going forward how high the stock market is.
How high can
it go?
So
what is the plan for taking withdrawals? It is a very different deal taking withdrawals versus accumulating assets. Dennis, well, how different can that be?
It also matters where you're taking those withdrawals from. Are
yes.
you taking them from an asset that doesn't decline when the market declines? What asset are you taking those withdrawals from? And that's part of the strategy that you go through when you're trying to make these decisions.
Well, my plan is simply to draw from my favorite mutual fund that's been in existence forever, and they've done well over a variety of environments. Okay, so they have. But are you adding insult to injury by drawing from that fund when the market happens to be down by 15 to 20%? I hadn't thought about that. And that's where the issues really come in, because then the money is not going to last as long as you might have otherwise wished it would. Enough said about that. Okay. All right, let's do this.
Okay.
Heidi, go.
All right. Well, HSA. Well, what is an HSA? An HSA is a health savings account. It is a personal savings account for healthcare expenses. An HSA is not a healthcare plan, but it can be used in conjunction with all qualifying high deductible healthcare plans in the U.S.
If you're uncertain if you have this, ask your employer whether or not you have this option.
So what are the great things about this? The tax-deductible contributions, tax-free investment gains and interest, and tax-free withdrawals any time that you use them for qualified medical expenses.
Making it unmatched amongst any other retirement account, period. Deductible going in, and if used for proper expenses out, tax-free.
Tax.
Right. And after the age of 65, if you still have this HSA account, HSA funds can also be used for non-health-related expenses, just like a traditional 401k. Hmm. You will have to pay tax on that amount if it's not used, but it can be used as another source for income in retirement. Sort of
well,
cool.
Could you also question, like, you know, we get parents who call and say, my adult child has a health crisis, I need to help them out. Could it be used for that? Even if you're taxed, could it be used for something like that?
Well, if the child has an HSA, and if they're a dependent and they're in a family plan, they probably could. But if they're on their own,
right.
You would have to check with the HSA plan that you have.
Yeah, for that okay. answer, they're on their own if they're on their own. Yeah.
Right. So Dennis was mentioning the requirements. You have to be enrolled in you cannot be enrolled in another HSA qualified health insurance plan. So you can only be in one active one at a time. And you cannot be eligible to use a flexible savings account. So a lot of people at work might have those flexible savings account where you add to it every month and then you can use it. And that is different than an HSA. So you want to make sure that you're not participating in one of those already. You cannot be claimed as a dependent on someone else's tax return, and you cannot be enrolled in Medicare or Medicaid to be contributing.
To be contributing.
Now, as a caution, even if you're using the HSA after age 65, consider using other retirement accounts if you have withdrawals that need to be made, just in anticipation of possible health care expenses in the future that could be taken from that HSA tax-free.
Right. Okay. And another nice thing is HSA funds never expire. So like we talked about, after you're 65, you can take it out and use it for other things. But you don't have to, when you stop being in that high-deductible plan, you still have your HSA account. It continues on. It doesn't expire at that point. So the limits, the contribution limits for 2020, for an individual, it's $3,550. For a family, it's $7,100. But for those over 50, you get a catch-up contribution of $1,000.
So $1,000 additional if you happen to be over the age of 50.
Correct. All right. So they had all this information is coming from a class that I attended at the TD conference that we talked about a couple weeks ago. And it was an interesting session because not a lot of spotlight is put on the HSA, but it's really one of the few products where you can put money in without paying taxes and take money out without paying taxes. So it's very attractive because of that, because you're getting to use the full power of your dollar for your own benefit.
Mm-hmm. We have a text question about HSAs.
Oh, that's radical.
Do I have to end my HSA 6 months before I start taking my Social Security? I was told there's a penalty for ending it during that six-month period.
How old is this individual, are they saying?
This individual's not said. It just said, why do I have to end my HSA 6 months before I start taking my Social Security?
Because they're involved in Medicare, most likely. And Medicare.
Mm-hmm. And you can't contribute.
You can't do both.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the questions that I'd seen some time ago was, well, I had this large distribution or a large sale of a residence where I had to take the gain on it, and my Social Security payments went down as a result. What happened there? Well, your Social Security payments didn't go down. Your Medicare costs went up. Medicare costs are directly related to your income, and they are indexed to that income. So Medicare costs can increase and pretty dynamically by 4 to 5 times the amount that you may be accustomed to, and it's based on 2 years ago tax returns. So that's another thing to watch for. If you have a significant capital gain, indeed your Medicare premiums may go up, which would mean then if they're directly deducted, which for most people they are, from your Social Security benefits, your Social Security benefits come down because your Medicare premiums themselves have gone up.
Mm. Right. And couple additional interesting things is when you reimburse yourself for medical expenses, you need to save your receipts in order to have a record of the offset that you're pulling out of the HSA. But you do not need to take that money out in the same year that the expense was made. So the gentleman who was teaching this class, he called it the shoebox saving method, where you save up your receipts over time, and then you could take an offsetting withdrawal from your HSA backed up by your receipts. But
I thought you would be paying for those payments from your HSA. You're saying you're paying them out of your pocket and then paying yourself back?
You can do it that way. Okay. Or you can pay. Some HSAs will have like a card or something that you could just use the funds in there to pay. But if you paid, say you went to pick up your prescription and you just paid from your checking account, you could keep that receipt, and then that would justify a withdrawal from your HSA. So, but it doesn't have to be in the same year. So you could save them up and then take out
Can you imagine that conversation, Ron?
No.
Darling, I just went and bought a car because I got paid back from HSA.
Right.
That would be a lot of receipts.
So it would. Totally tax-free vehicle. I couldn't help myself.
So some people get that choice. They say you can have traditional from your employer traditional health care plan, or you can get high deductible and have an HSA.
Right.
And it's a tough decision. I don't know what criteria one would use for that.
I think one would be how healthy you are. If you tend to be pretty healthy and not have to use medical services a lot, it might be a good idea to be in the HSA and where you could build up a balance.
Okay.
And I would look at the coverage in the traditional and see if any of the things they cover, if you do have a medical condition, it might serve you better to take the traditional route.
Generally, if someone has an HSA and a Roth IRA or 401k available to them, we're usually, in almost all cases, encouraging them to max out their HSA contributions first before they do their 401k.
Right.
It's that valuable in terms of deductible in and non-taxable out for appropriate medical expenses.
And another twist there, I would just say to you, Dennis,
Does
your employer match on your 401k? Because you want to take that into consideration. Because if they're matching up to a certain expense, maybe you want to max that out and then contribute to that.
A great point indeed.
That's why
the importance of having a conversation with your financial advisor directly face to face.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.